Okay, welcome to our Tanya, our defining Tanya share, up to Ois Kaf. Last week we discussed Kavanas Mitzvah, and I was just saying that the Kavanas Mitzvah in Tanya is referring to what motivates the mitzvah, the energy that motivates the mitzvah, and it's the heart, those three prakim in Tanya, which is chapters 38, 39, 40. Hi, Henry. 38, 39, 40 are they're the most difficult chapters in Tanya. There's like a couple of others, like 33 and like 42 and 3. There's some other very difficult and 23, but in my opinion, those three chapters, 38, 39, 40, are the most difficult chapters in Tanya, and they are dealing with Kavanas and Mitzvah. They are dealing with the inyan of the energy that motivates the mitzvah. Okay, so then we have Kamayim Panim Laponim, but we spoke about that in Ahavas Hashem. That's a type of love, so that's just a reference to over there. So we're going to explain Bezrat Hashem Kas very quickly, because then I want to get to Lamed, which is Lave. And I've got there's a really special shiur that I've given many times. I will give again on the five stages of the heart. That is very helpful and really enlightening. Okay, so Kas. Kas, according to Tanya, is not an emotion. So what is it if it's not an emotion?
Temporary state.
It's a pleasure. Yeah. Kas is a pleasure, not an emotion. And according to Tanya, again, it depends how you define emotion, but the way I've understood it, according to Tanya, it's not an emotion. Emotions are just avanira, and kas is a pleasure. Just like depression and laziness is also not an emotion in Tanya, it's also a pleasure. And frivolousness and gaiva, these are pleasures, not emotions. Anyway, so kas is a pleasure. And what is its pleasure? Okay, what is the pleasure? And the pleasure, the way that I understand what kas is, the ego builds a wall around you. You could call it your malchus in a sense, geus lavesh. It's like a conceptual wall around you that delineates you and solidifies you. Anger happens when someone or something somehow dents or breaches that wall. Now, obviously, if someone says something, they're rude to you, or they do something bad to you, then they've dented your honor. That's obviously gonna, bring out an angry response. But even things like if you get angry over the inequality of wealth, or you get angry at the fact that some people are so lazy, not that they've done anything to you, that they just don't do anything, yeah, that they just sit there all day and whatever, yeah. You're actually what the anger is a response to the fact that your identity is getting broken a bit. Why? Because if you get very upset by a person who sits there and wastes his life, you've identified with the idea of being productive and effective, etc., and they're very whatever they are, that, so to speak, offends you. That is a breach. So what part of your wall is the concept of being efficient, effective, and productive? And they're the opposite. That makes you angry. Yeah. Also, if you wanted to go, you wanted to go camping tomorrow, and then Hashem decides it's going to rain. Yeah, that makes you angry, meaning you got your that wall around you, your identity got breached. So what does anger do? anger, your anger at X creates that, turns that X into an enemy. Okay. And conceptually, what that means is you put a wall around your enemy. That's what an enemy is. An enemy is somebody that you put in prison. An enemy is somebody that you build a wall around. You don't want to be near them. You don't want anything to do with them. You want them isolated and away from you. Yeah. That's what happens to our enemies. Chaos is the mechanism that we use to replenish our broken wall. We put the other person, we block in the other person with the wall, and then we, so to speak, use their wall that we built around them to fill our wall. That's the mechanism of caste, I understand it. So it's considered a pleasure because that is a pleasure to have that wall reinforced. Yeah, just like when somebody pats you on the back and says, you know, wow, you're amazing. Yeah, that makes that wall stronger and taller and deeper and thicker, etc. Yeah, that's a pleasure. So too, when we turn X into an enemy, whether or not it's the person at the corner store, whether or not it's the guy who cut us up in the street, whether or not it's the inequality of wealth, or the fact that people can't get their act together, whatever it is, whatever you're turning into an enemy, yeah, that is to replenish the breakage in the wall that you've experienced. That is what anger is, according to how I understand it. Is that clear? Pretty amazing, yeah? Yeah, that is amazing. It is amazing. Okay, Vokshem. So that is Kas, Al Regel Achas. Lave. Anybody remembers the five stages of the heart that we've discussed in the past? That'll be a big surprise. Okay. It goes Timtum Alev, Shvira Salev, Merira Salev, and Tuv Levav. Now this shear is a standalone shear. I call it the five stages of the heart. It's not very inventive, but it's a shear that I've given many times, and it's really important. It really shows you the emotional progression of how our hearts work. It's really deep, and it's culled from Sefer Tanya exclusively. But from many different locations in Sefer Tanya, it's not just he doesn't just explain Timtum Alev, Shvira Salev, in like one place. It's spread out over the place. A lot of it is from the late 20s, like Kaf Hei, Kaf Tes, Lamed, etc. Okay, so Timtum Alev, and it actually ties in very much with caste, like what we're talking about. Timtum Alev is the lowest level of the heart, yeah? It is the level of the heart where it's mutumtam. It's atum, it's blocked, clogged. Timtum Alev means the clogged heart, but it's also referring to the ossification of the heart, which means the hardening of the heart, the callousing of the heart. And that doesn't mean like you've got a callous heart that you're insensitive. I mean, it does mean that, but it's more referring to the walls of the heart actually harden. And that is just like exactly what we were just speaking about. It's an egoic, it's an egoic. I'm thinking of the word fetish. That's not the right word though. It's the MO of the ego. See, the ego wants one thing to be. Once you already are, yeah, you've got your basic survival taken care of, then the ego is just about making that being bigger, stronger, better, v'chule, yeah. So the ego just wants to be. And what that it means, like we just said, is this idea of building walls around you. That's the idea of walls. Walls preserve you. Walls preserve you. And see, the ego, you can imagine an egoic person is the opposite of vulnerable. You can't penetrate an egoic person. They're unpenetrable. Why? Because they have completely kind of blocked themselves in with these massive, strong, fortified walls. That is ego. Ego does that. Ego solidifies itself, and that's always conceptually this idea of this conceptual wall that we put around ourselves. Yeah, Michael.
There's a rabbi that told a story of a wealthy man he knows that built a house on the ocean, right on the beach. And he said that he heard he was doing construction, taking down the perimeter wall and putting up a new wall. He says, "Why are you doing this?" He says, "Well, because the original wall I put up was only rated to last 200 years. The new wall I'm putting up is rated to last 400 years." The man's 75 years old. 200 years, 400 years, what difference does it make? He wanted to solidify his walls.
Wait, what did that's a real what where did you hear that? What?
I heard this like 3, 4 years ago, so I have to look it up. But this is,
Well, it's
it
some
was
nut
from the East Coast. What
some nut in
it was like,
the East Coast.
oh, a from wealthy guy on the East Coast, on the, wherever over there,
Yeah.
was building a mansion.
So that's yeah. So it's a very important idea, this idea of the walls. That's the the Chomot of Yerushalayim. That is the Malchus Shemayim. See, like we build egoic walls around ourselves. Hashem has a wall around himself. That's called Malchus Shemayim. That's called Geus Lavesh. Yeah, that's the gaiva that he wears, so to speak. So his ego, kivyochol, is his Malchus. To use the word ego for the Boshom is probably not the right word, but it's out the moshul. Remember, we're always the moshul, he's the nimshul. So our ego is the nimshul, is his malchus, meaning his mizgeret, his organization that, so to speak, surrounds him, that he wears. Yes, whenever we talk about walls and the walls of Yerushalayim and the breaking of the walls of Yerushalayim, which is Shiras HaBetamnos, that's always meramis to the inyan of the Malchus Shemayim having cracks in it. And who is in charge of Malchus Shemayim? You. And I said this to a guy in Shimon Tzaddik a few weeks ago. He was and I I said this earlier. Michael, you're smiling. Oh, you don't know. So he is a nice, simple Sephardi Jew. And he looks at me and he's talking whatever. He just sits there all day, yeah, he doesn't do anything. And he said to me, a kol b'day shemayim, ma ani achol la'asot. What am I able to do? And I look at him, I said, you know what the Baruch Hashem is saying? He's saying, a kol bidei aretz, ma ani achol la'asot, what can I do? The Baruch Hashem is saying to us, exactly, Eliezer, that's the whole point, is you get a lot of people who say, ma ani achol la'asot, what can I do? And the Baruch Hashem is saying, ma ani achol la'asot, I gave the whole thing over to you. Stop sitting around and fix this place. Exactly. Just do it. That's the point. Just do it. Revolution time. Baal Shem style. Yes. Okay. So the this egoic wall around us, this hard wall around the heart, yeah, which is called Timtum Alev, that is you're just a graphic in the game. You're an egoic blip in the program, in that stage. And the Rebbe explains that there's two issues, two big kind of expressions of the Timtum Alev, which is, number one, you can't daven properly, and number two, you're not makadish yourself b'mutalach. You can't what's the word? You can't how do you say makadish yourself b'mutalach? You can't be involved in the permissible pleasures properly, in moderation. You're pigging out on good kosher food, or you're with your wife too much, whatever the type it is, yeah. That's the you can't be Mekadosh. Why? Because that is exactly the ego. That's the ego can't daven, yeah. Because davening is hachna and hoida, and the ego can't do that. And the ego wants pleasure as well. So the ego, because that's one of the most strong, having pleasure is one of the ultimate ways of solidifying the wall. Just as an interesting point, there's a famous Gemara in Yuma that says, the reason why the base Bais Rishon was destroyed and Bais Sheni was destroyed, yeah. Bais Rishon, it says there was Gilui Avodah Zarah and Shefichas Damim, but there was a level of emunah. We were ma'amin. We believed in Hashem, so to speak. By Bais Sheni, yeah, there was Torah, mitzvahs, and Gemilas Chasadim, but Sinas Chinam. And then there's a big machlokes, which one was worse? And the maskana is that the second one was worse because it's been for so long, and the first one was only for 80 years. Yeah, but this is a very important diuk to make from the Gemara. It says that there was Torah, mitzvahs, and gemilas chasadim with sinas chinam. What's with tefillah? There was not. They didn't say there was tefillah, because there can't be tefillah and sinas chinam. There can't be. If there's real tefillah, then sinas chinam will evaporate. There won't be sinas chinam. So there was Torah, there was mitzvahs, there was even gemilas chasadim, but it was all mixed up with sinas chinam, rachmanas. So tefillah is, I mean, real tefillah. I'm not even talking about going out to the forest and screaming out to Hashem. I'm talking about Shachris, Psuk de Zimra, Birchas Kriya Shema, with Kavana. I'm sure the guys in Bais Sheni were davening Shachris, yeah? But not, it wasn't tefillah. Tefillah means you invest in Shachris, the investment that it obviously demands, that it's obviously worthy of. Yeah. And if you do that, then you will see the sinas chinam, which is basically the ugliest manifestation of your lower self, just kind of start to it will start to f fall into the background, and it will dissolve completely, Bezrat Hashem. So Timtum Alev is the clogged heart, yeah? It's an egoic state of in pen impenetrability. How would you say that? In impenetrability. Yeah, nothing moves you. Nothing moves you. So what's the next stage? If nothing moves you, then what? How do you move out of that? Yeah, the next stage is called Shvira Salev. Shvira Salev is the experience of having your identity broken. I'm going to speed up a little bit because I want to try and get through the whole thing. So each of these things as well, we could give a shiur in anyway. But Shvira Salev means you are, the way I understand it, you are identified with X. Yeah, that's your identity. Yeah, Tottenham Hotspurs, the football club, is your identity, Rahmanas. And they lose a game. Yeah, you feel like you want to end it all. You must sit on the floor and cry. Yeah, that is the person's identity has been broken. That is a level of Shvira Salev. Lahavdil Elef Alfei Lafim Havdalahs would be the experience, Rachmanis, of a child losing their parent. Yeah. Or a child, their parents divorcing when they're, in their, young, in their earlier years. Yeah, where their whole identity was wrapped up in their parents, and all of a sudden their parents, that marriage dissolves and they're broken. Yeah, or for example, the guy that I was speaking to in New York, who was this hotshot realtor, and he made some bad deals, and I mean, he was his whole identity was that of a hotshot realtor, realtor. How do you say it? Realtor. Yeah, whatever. Estate agent guy. And he did some stupid things, and he didn't feel that he was that anymore. That Sphere of Slave. It is literally the most unpleasant place to be. It's a very, very vulnerable, very, I mean, to say vulnerable, that is the definition of vulnerable. Vulnerable means you're in Sphera. Vulnerable means your heart has been broken, which means your identity, those walls have been smashed down. And now you feel vulnerable and bare, and that's Pasha terrifying. But it's an incredibly healthy place to be, because now you can break free of this ego wall that's been around you, and you can become what you need to become, as opposed to continue being what you've always been. That is what Sphere of Slave provides you with the opportunity to do. Sphere of Slave is the opportunity now to become what you need to become. It is the moshul in the physical world is the very subtle clipper that exists over like, for example, an apple seed. Yeah, you have an apple seed is brown, yeah, like browny black. And if you use your nail, you can kind of like peel it open, and you see inside the white bit. Yeah. So when they talk about the idea of the seed rotting in the ground and then it grows, the seed doesn't rot at all. The black clipper of the seed rots, and then the seed can grow forth, can sprout forth. That is mamash shvir salev. Imagine how delicate that seed is when that brown shell kind of dissolves. That seed would feel naked and so vulnerable. Yeah, but that is essential for growth. To grow, it's essential that you that the walls of that these that these this egoic fortress is brought down. Okay, if somebody goes to a complete shvira, yeah, they will commit suicide. Meaning, if a person's identity is 100%, yeah, his ability to make lots of money, and he makes some bad deals, and he decides that he doesn't have that ability to make a lot of money, yeah, 100%, he will end his life. And I told you that story of this guy in New York who was close to suicide, yeah, but he didn't. And the reason was because he had a nice family, and he was like 80% identified with his ability to make money. And that 20% of his identity, which was his wife and kids, kept him alive, Baruch Hashem. Yeah. So that's Sphere Salev. So Tim Salev is this. Yeah.
Sorry, just quick question. Does all growth have to go through Sphere Salev, or can you have growth not through Sphere Salev?
Well, it depends. If your egoic wall is very, very soft, very flimsy, yeah, which is hopefully what it is, yeah, then you won't, or the sphere will be very what's the word? Untraumatic. It will be very it will be it will your growth will be available. The goal is to not have an egoic wall, or to at least, be able to step out of it whenever you need to. Yeah. But the yeah, as you build up the courage and you practice the fighting of the ego, yeah, and the becoming aware of the ego, growth becomes easier and easier. And someone will say to you, your wife will turn around to you and she'll say, something like, Shmuel, the way you were. That first thing you said in the shir, this is what happened last night. Yeah, I said something in the shir, and she said, like, I think it was nothing. And she was like, it was very like Guyver dick of you. That was very, that was very, very cocky. And if your ego wall is in it full force, You'll be like, what are you talking about? Look at you and how you sat and hang on the blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Whereas if your egoic wall is very flimsy, you'll go, yeah, I hear that. Okay, I'll try and work that out. Thank you. So it doesn't have to be traumatic, but there was probably a stage when it was very traumatic. But it's Madragas and Madragas. Okay. So Timtimalave is the egoic frozen experience where you're just not available. You're not available to anything. You're just in your fortress protecting yourself. Shvirasalave, you could bring it on yourself if you're brave enough and clever enough. Usually your kids and wife bring it on you. Yeah, that's what they're that's I think that's their when they come down from Shemaim, that's their primary job is they sign the Shvirasalave. But yeah, we'll help that. We'll help with him. Don't worry, we'll bring him to Shvira, Alti Doug. Yeah, that's their primary job. So if you just play the rule, if you play the game and just manage to bite your tongue, then Shvirasalave experiences will be very frequent. You'll be zeichet them all the time. Yeah, but then there's big Shvirasalave things like tragedy strikes, loss of a loved one. The sudden loss of a loved one, loss of possessions, a health issue and a sudden health issue. All of these things are Shvirasalave dick. Yeah. Okay. So with Shvirasalave, once you're in this vulnerable, guardless state, there's one of two options. Literally one of two options. You can either revert back to Timtum, which is probably the more obvious, more default option, the less energy option, is you go to this stage of Shvira, you feel extremely vulnerable. You could potentially blossom or sprout into a completely new person, but instead you revert back to exactly how you were and you climb back into that fortress and you rebuild the walls again. That's very common. Or you can move into what's called Merirasalave. That's the next stage. Merirasalave is what they translate as bitterness of lave. You could call it Avelis. Now, Avelis, everyone knows, you ever seen somebody in Avelis, they are alive. Their heart is pumping. Like sometimes it can be scary how alive they are. Yeah, but it hurts. It's not like Simcha, which is called Psichsalev, or was also called Simcha Psichsalev, same thing. That Simcha is the heart is alive, but from the right side, it feels geschmack. Yeah. Merirasalev is the heart is alive, but it's from the left side. It's the stage after Shvirasalev, and it's the saying, it's when you grit your hands. When you clench your fists and you grit your teeth and you say, enough, this has to change. I can't go on like this any longer. I have to change. That's Merirasalave. It's an energy. That's why Tisha B'Av is such an opportune time to grow. Because you're alive with Gvuasalave, with Merirasalave, yeah. And if you're zoicha to that, if from Shvira you are zoicha to Merira as opposed to falling back to Timtum, yeah, then you're already. It's basically the way I understand it. It's kind of like a signed deal that you will move into Psichasalave. Psichasalave, which is also called Simcha, is the free-flowing emotion, which feels very good. It feels great. It is the it's Psichasalave. It's the opposite of Tintamalave. You're growing, you're moving, you're available to people, you're available to yourself, and you're full of life. The heart is pumping. In fact, you can't have emotions without, well, Avelis is, I'm not quite sure how that works. That's quite complicated. I don't quite understand it. But by Psichsalev, yeah, or Simcha, is the prerequisite for Avanira. Meaning Avanira can only exist in a lev patuach. That's the very definition of an open heart. Is it's open to what? It's open to Avanira, and those are the energies that allow you to move. That's why it's called in English emotion. Motion from Russian moving. Everyone's clear so far? It's really a tight, clean system. It's very beautiful how it works. So we've got Timtimalev, and this is my favorite part, which is called Tuvlevov. Yeah, but we've got Timtimalev, which is this egoic, what's the word? Defensive position. This egoic defensive place where you can't daven and you can't be makadosh yourself with what's mutter to you. You're indulging in all the pleasures of the world. And this is a very common, maybe you could even argue, and like the Tanya says it says itim koroivim, whatever, or prakim koroivim. It's very common that we are in this state. It could even maybe be argued that it's kind of our default, the Beinoni's default state is Timtimalev. So first there's Timtimalev, which is, well, you need to begin. So then there's Shvirasalev, whether you induce it yourself, whether your wife or kids induce it, whether God himself induces it. Yeah. However it happens, that means your identity gets broken, and that's like the coming down of the walls of the heart. Yeah, that then now you're in the position where you either revert back and re-erect the walls that just got destroyed by the Shvira, or you are zoicha to move forward into Meruah Salev, which is the lave again, like I said, is alive, but it hurts. It's like that determination to move forward. And that then leads, Bezrat Hashem, to psichsalev, where you are now available mamash to emotion. It's not a determination for emotion, it's mamash emotion. But like I said, I'm not sure if that's quite true. I don't know how that works in Maria Salev exactly. So Bezrat Hashem will find that out one day. But psichsalev is the heart is mamash available to emotion, and those are the first words of the Tanya, no? Well, the first words of the Tanya, he says, if you're gonna think about all your avodas, you're gonna think you're a big Rasha, then he says, how can you be even Hashem? He says, oh, tia Rasha b'fnei atzmacha, v'gam, yeah, but if you think of yourself as a Rasha, your levavoi, your heart's gonna feel ra, v'ye, and you won't be able to serve Hashem b'simcha. Meaning, if you're not besimcha, there is no avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem is the prerequisite sicha. Simcha is a prerequisite for avodas Hashem. Okay, everyone's clear on that. Those four levels. Yes, we've got Timtimalev, Shvirasalev, Meruah Salev, and Psichsalev. And this is mamash mind blowing. The final stage is called Tuv Levav. Anybody knows a little bit of dikduk? There's a grammarian in the house. Anybody understand what's the difference between Timtimalev, Meruah Salev, Shvirasalev, and Tuv Levav grammatically? They divide into the first four. I can't do it with my fingers. You got the first four, and then you've got Tuv Levav is a completely different grammatical construct, and it's amazing how Chazal hide these meanings in these amazing little grammatical anomalies. Psichsalev, lave, even though it is like psichsmeris, is also a noun, but the heart is a noun. The heart is a noun, and it is another noun, but it's working as an adjective to describe the noun. So it's a blocked heart, it's a broken heart, it's a bitter heart, it's an open heart. The heart is, yeah, broken, bitter, open, blocked, yeah. Tuvlevav, the heart becomes the adjective. That's what it means, tuvlevav. Tuv is not toiv. Yeah, you can't, when you say kol, a lot of Bala Tshuva says they get kol tov. It's really grammatically, it should be kol tuv, all the best, meaning the good is all of the good, not it was a good day. Good can be a noun and an adjective. So a good day is an adjective. It's a, the day is the noun, and the good modifies the day, as opposed to it's a good day, as opposed to it's a bad day. Yeah. But good can also be a noun. It was good. It was for the good. Yeah. All of the good. So that's what happens in the final stage of the heart. It's tuv levav. The goodness is the noun, and it's the heart becomes an adjective. So it's like calling it like hearty good. Like, the good is hearty. You can't say it in English. Yeah. So what? Okay. Cute. Lovely. So what? What is that? What is that teaching us? Well, think of it like conceptually, how it must look when you kind of turn it into an image, when you give it some visuals. Yeah, you could think of it as like, see, tuv levav is you've got, oh sorry, that psichas alev is you've got the heart, and then conceptually the adjective kind of enclothes the noun, and dresses up the noun. Yeah. The adjective is tofel to the noun. It describes the noun. So you've got the noun, again, conceptually, visually, you've got the noun, and you enclose it in, you've got the heart is the noun, and you enclose that in openness, in blockedness, in bitterness, in brokenness, etc. Yeah? So this is what we're doing here, is we're taking good and we're enclosing it in the heart. We're modifying good by your heart. The final stage of the heart is called Chalal libi b'kirbi. My heart is empty in me. What's it full of? Toiv. That's the madrega of the tzaddik, where his heart has become godly, meaning the essence of his heart is godly, which is toiv or tuv. And all his heart is doing is describing that goodness, meaning his heart has become like the walls of God. So it's the perfect finale of this whole process, because the beginning of the process is, yeah, the heart has ossified itself. It's hard, yeah? Tim Malave. The final stage of the heart is that the heart has become the definition of God. It's the heart is defining the tuv, the goodness. That means that you have been replaced, the essence of who you are has been replaced with God. With godliness, however you want to say it. There's not really, the words in English aren't so good for this. But the essence of the heart has become switched over to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And now your heart is that gives him his definition, so to speak. That's Chelek Elokai. It's a piece of God. Well, what's the bit that defines that? Because a piece, a chelek, needs to be defined. Well, you're the definition. God is the essence, and you're the definition, as opposed to an egoic person who he's the essence. And then whatever defines him, but he's the essence. In the final state of the heart, the heart is good, meaning the heart has become godly, and we are just, so to speak, defining it and giving it some kiyum in this world. Okay, that is lave, the way that I understand it and I've learned from my Rebbe. And me,
Well, question on that.
yeah, for sure.
Is that plural as well? Levav?
Is
Is
that
that
for
like
who?
both? Is it plural? Plural, like both hearts. Levav.
No, well, they drush it that you could drush it like that, like they drush in Shema, b'chol levavacha. They drush the two bases as b'chol shnei yitzerecha with the two yetzers. But it doesn't mean it's not levavois. Like chuvas halevavois means duties of the hearts. It's like no, so no chuvas halevavois. How would that work? Levavois. No, that's all. No, that's also the inyan of lave. So yeah, that actually proves it perfectly. That is the adjective of heart. It's levavois because it's chovot. Chovot, which if it was chov, it would be chov levav, but it's chovas halavavus. So it doesn't, the two bases don't make it plural, no.
Okay.
But good question. Cool question. Square. Okay, so next week, B'zvat Hashem, we will talk about Levush and Levushim. That's the next level of Lamed. That's also a big shir, B'zvat Hashem. Okay, everyone should be good bench, B'zvat Hashem.
Because I know most people.
Right,
Yeah,
my pleasure.